Welcome in to Beyond Mechanics, joined in by Jim Greco of Living Legends Baseball. Jim, what up, man?
What's going on, Ron?
Same old stuff, different day, man. We coming off of successful Milpitas National Little League camp.
Yeah, shout out to Milpitas National. That was a great camp.
Hey, big shout out, man. A lot of fun, a lot of kids smiling, made us smile. And now we were out there and I saw you doing a lot of speed and agility with the kids.
Yeah.
And so we got this topic about strength and conditioning, speed and agility, man. And which direction you want to take it, Jim? What age? How you want to get at this?
Well, so, you know, for me, one thing I want to talk about is, in my program, I have a coach. His name's Coach Joe Guanera. He's coached in high school at Lee High School. He's coached with me for, it's been about 5 years now. And I really, honestly, I found him on the Little League field. You know, when I was running Briarwood Little League, he was out there coaching his stepson. And actually, me as just a general scout, you know, looking at youth kids, always seeing who can play ball and stuff like that. His stepson was a good ball player. He was a kid I was always, you know, kind of keeping an eye on because you could see he could play. And so we ended up getting to know each other, obviously, because at that time, I think I'm a player agent. So I help, you know, build the teams and get the coaches and make sure the right coaches coaching the right teams and all that stuff. And so come to find out, you know, he was a personal trainer. He actually used to compete in competitions for weightlifting and stuff like that. So, you know, his extensiveness as far as like how I am with baseball and how in depth, you know, I've gone into studying the game and stuff like that. He's like that with weight training and bodybuilding and what to eat, nutrition and all that kind of stuff as well. So, you know, finding that out, that was awesome because for my program, you know, something I always wanted to call my program was like a one-stop shop. We'll have everything you need, whether it's the pitching, hitting coaches, fielding coaches, all that. But what about your diet? What about your nutrition? What about weightlifting? And when should I start weightlifting and all that kind of stuff? Now, granted, you know, I got a good idea just because, you know, even you as a baseball player through the years of whether you were in high school, started lifting weight, whenever it was that you first started lifting weights, there was something we knew we needed to get stronger. We knew we wanted to get bigger, hit the ball farther, harder, and all that kind of stuff. But there was no guidance. There was no guidance for me. Even when I got to high school and we got, you know, sent to the weight room or whatever it was, or even if it was PE and this month was focused on lifting weights, there was no process. There was no, hey, you're going to do this, 10 sets of this, 3 reps of that, you know, or whatever it is. There was none of that. You just kind of went in there and did whatever you think you could do. And who knows if it was helping, who knows if you were doing it right. Who thought that there was actually a way to lift the weight properly or anything like that? You know, the only thing I ever knew as a kid was my dad would tell me you're lifting it wrong. You know, you're lifting something wrong. You don't use your back, you use your legs. That was the only tip I can really honestly take away from ever weightlifting. So back to Joe, he's now through being a coach in my program. He had got motivated to open his own business and it's called Legendary Fitness. And
that's actually you followed me yesterday, Jim.
Oh, okay.
I like that. I like that logo with the red F.
Yeah. LF, left field, but it's Legendary Fitness. So okay. he tying into me a little bit with the legendary stuff because he's same thing. You know, you got to be legendary. So he's a mobile instructor as well. So it's not like he has a place you're going to go and get a membership. He comes to you. So you can go to a park. He'll come to your house. He'll work out your whole family if you want. He has a family right now. He works out, 2-3 days a week, and they all go out there as a family and do all these different workouts.
I got to meet this guy.
Yeah. He's awesome. And again, like I said, it brought a whole new extra element to my program that really, you know, I had kids after practices that after we had 2 or 3 hour practice, boom, Joe's showing up and he's setting up shop and we'd have 5, 6, 7 kids out there getting extra reps in and doing extra work because they wanted to get bigger, stronger, faster, and he's running them through it. And he knows the right way to do it. So depending on whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, you know, he can build a plan for you. Meals, you know, what you should be eating in order to get whatever it is that you're trying to get out of this, how often you should be eating, how much protein, you know, just all that stuff. He does all that stuff for you and helps guide you through all that. So for instance, this is something that was really awesome. So through the pandemic, this is where it was great. My son, you know, as a lot of people know, he was a senior last year, lost his senior year because of it. And now, you know, luckily we kind of already knew where he was going to go for college, but how do I get prepared? I got, you know, we didn't know we were going to have a year and a half, you know, till he was going to be able to get ready for college again. So it was like, what are we going to do? So we started getting on a weightlifting program with Joe. So he got like four or five of my kids that were really, really serious. They want, hey, we want to get bigger, stronger, and be ready to go for when this pandemic ends. So all these kids signed up with him, and we had a little workout spot actually at my facility. They have a whole workout center inside their garage. So he was using that for a while. Plus he has his own mobile stuff and some things at his house. So he really coordinated a really awesome plan for all these kids. And it was like 3 months. I want to say it was like October, November, December. It was like those 3 months or something like that. And it was very affordable. So one thing about it, you can't get a membership that would have been able to give you what he got, you know, for the price that he was charging.
Low overhead.
Yeah. We're talking, you know, it was like maybe $200 or $300 a month or whatever, but they were going like 4 or 5 days a week. Like you can't go anywhere and get a personal trainer 4 or 5 days a week and only pay a few $100 for that.
And starting at five. I know what a guy that I work. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's impossible. So he's low on the fees, but good dude, knows what he's talking about. And all these kids gain anywhere from 10 to 20 pounds of muscle and came out stronger, came out, you know, just more fitted and everything like that. You know, came out confident. Again, we talk confidence. What are things that help build confidence? Well, again, for me, like when I could grip the bat and it felt like the bat was a feather in my hands, I felt confident that day. I picked up the bat and it felt like I was swinging the weighted bat. That didn't make me feel good. And when you're stronger and feeling good about yourself, things come a little bit easier to you, you know? And this is something that he's helping do. So it's a mental thing too. It's not just a physical thing. There's confidence being built in this and a lot of positivity with it. So this is what he does. He brings to my program. We do a bunch of other stuff with obviously all the kids at practices. We do all kinds of drills. He's got parachutes, he's got ropes, you know, ladders, just everything you can think of, you name it, they got it. So him doing that in my program, it's been huge for a lot of kids. And some people are like, hey, you know, like they must have studs in their program. This always comes up, like they must have the best baseball players in our program. And I'm, hey, we got a lot of really good baseball players. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of them, though, came from being maybe average to getting really, really good because of their hard work ethic and all that stuff. But all this extra stuff that they're doing, the extra hard work that they're doing outside of our practices and the stuff that they're doing on their own. A lot of people don't talk about that. Like what you do off the field on your down, on your off days, on your 5 days a week that you don't have anything else to do or a coach in your face telling you, hey, you need to go do this and you need to go do that to get better. What are you doing? And I think, you know, you'll probably vouch for this too, that one of the biggest things that kids can be doing or starting to do that they can do on their own, whether it's push-ups in your room by yourself, or whatever it is, it's lifting weights, it's getting stronger and it's getting bigger, because the bigger and stronger you can get is going to help you compete, with those next level athletes. But, you know, for you, when did you realize, I guess, I needed to get bigger and stronger? Did you ever even think that? And what was it that you started out with? Did you have some dumbbells in your room? Did dad bring home some dumbbells one day? Or I don't know, you tell me your story on how you got into even getting in shape and stuff like that for baseball.
Jim, the only time I ever lifted weights is when I was playing football.
Really?
Yeah, because back, I don't know, me and you, we're the same age, but we used to look at it like, lifting weights wasn't a baseball player thing. That's going to get you tight. That's going to get you big. I got to be loose and limber.
I agree.
So most of us, we never lifted weights. I didn't lift weights when I was at De Anza. First time I really ever lifted weights when I went to Kenyatta, and Mike Garcia had us up there, you know, 2 or 3 times a week doing circuit training, but it wasn't nothing serious.
Yeah.
But when I learned about weight training was when I got into pro ball. And I seen the people that were really successful were the people that was on them weights. They were stronger. They hit the ball harder. They looked better in their uniform, all of that stuff. Yeah. But that's not the key. That's not what really sold me, though, because I was still playing okay. What sold me, though, was people talking about how healthy you can stay throughout, because you play a long season. You're playing 144 games in the minor leagues, 162 in the major leagues. You got to stay on the field.
Yep.
And lifting weights and keeping your body in the right condition, that'll keep you on the field. So that's really why I did it. Mm. My dad never bought weights. He didn't believe in, he believed in push-ups. My dad was a Marine. He believed in push-ups, burpees. He believed in all that calisthenics, you know what
I mean? Yes.
So I never lifted weights at my house. First time I ever really lifted weights was in high school football. Once football season was over, we stopped lifting. But there was no off-season conditioning because I'm playing basketball. Then I'm playing baseball or track or whatever, you know?
That was your conditioning, playing basketball.
Right. Man, we messing up our connection. Can you hear me?
All right. I think I lost you for a second.
All right, there we go. So yeah, man, really, when I got to pro ball, that's really when I started, and it was the second year into pro ball.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember you were telling me a story, and I think this was offline, but you ran into like Kenny Lofton and Albert Bell.
That was the year
in Arizona.
That was the year.
Was that your first year or second year?
Second year, my second time I went to spring training. So, you know, it was my first spring training, but my second year. So I got drafted, I went to short season. Then the next year you got to go to spring training and start the whole year, because you get drafted in June. They had already went through the spring training. So my first spring training, my dad was like, you got to move down there if you're going to be serious. You can't stick around here with all these clowns. They ain't trying to do what you're trying to do. They trying to go to college or they trying to do this, but that ain't what you're trying to do. So I moved down there, got a membership to Bally's. And like you say, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just in there lifting. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Doing some splits. Man, I think I do some chest and tries today. Tomorrow I'll do some back and buys, hit some legs. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I'm lifting. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting bigger. But Albert Bell and Kenny Lofton used to be in there. And man, Albert Bell write down everything he do, not just his at-bats, his workout. He hit a set, he write down what he did today. So that's when I got introduced to it. And also, when I went by the facility, they had their strength and conditioning guy there every day.
Mm.
But I wasn't interested in that. I should have been. I was interested in listening to what Lofton and Bell was saying, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Wow. So, you know, it's funny when you said that, you know, football guys were lifting, but baseball guys weren't, because that was something even for me. And I think it's still kind of true today, like as a pitcher, because that was one of the things I did. We didn't want to get bulked up. And I seen some guys who did. There was guys I seen that I played with that like their body changed over the course of a couple years, and like their shoulders were huge, you know, but then I noticed like they were throwing weird, like they were throwing different than they used to throw before, and it looked weird. And I'm like, I think they got too big, you know, and lost some of the limberness, you know, and the flexibility and things like that. So, and I know that just by following, you know, Tom House, you know, that's a guy I follow a lot. And for those that don't know, he was Nolan Ryan's pitching coach, and that's kind of what he's famous for. $1 Million Arm, that was a movie about Tom House, you know, training those three Indian kids to learn how to pitch, and you know, got to the minor leagues and stuff like that or whatever. But he really always talked about, you know, you don't want to get too big, you know, or whatever. You want to be strong. You want to get stronger, but especially your base, you know. So if you want to do anything as a pitcher, like you want to build up your base, which is your legs. You want your core, you know, to be really strong. So how do you get your core strong and your legs strong and all that kind of stuff? And like you said, hey, when we were younger, we didn't have nobody telling us that information or telling us even what we needed to do in order to get those sections of your body to where they needed to be and stuff like that. So that was definitely the case with me. Like I said, when we went into the gym, we really, to me, we're just messing around, because there was no goal. There was no even science to what we were doing in there, or results that we were expecting. It was kind of like, we looked in the mirror without our shirt on, and you know, flex like a penitentiary flex in the mirror, you know, and stuff like that. And like, yeah, I look at this cut right here, you know, or whatever. And that was that. But, you know, now, I mean, there's personal trainers all over the place. Obviously, there's like the one I'm talking about with Coach Joe. But I'm seeing a lot of other places. There's even a business out in Morgan Hill. I think it's called KPI or something like that. They got a lot of technological stuff involved in what they're doing too. But there's just all these things that now people are starting to bring to the game where they're measuring your body fat. They're telling you what it is. They're showing you a plan to get on, meals and all that kind of stuff. And I'm seeing it a lot more with players, other players in other programs and stuff like that are starting to get into these, you know, training programs to build them up, whether it's in the off season or whatever. I still think as a baseball player, for me, it's tough to lift a lot of weights during the season, but I think you can find a couple days during the week where, whether it's just practice days, I don't think lifting on game days to me was ever a good thing, but I know, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that will say different. There's guys like Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco, and those guys, and granted, they might've been on some juice or something like that at the time. But a lot of those guys used to say they were lifting 5 days a week during the season. You know, they might even lift, you know, a couple hours before the game or whatever it was. They were meeting there and lifting and took BP and went and played a game, you know, and that's what they did. So, I mean, for me, I think ultimately every person is different. They got a different body type. You know, depending on your age, your growth spurts and all that kind of stuff. I think you got to have somebody in your life that knows what you're going through and can give you a good plan. I don't think there's one good plan for everybody, you know, just like they're, you know, position specific. If you're a pitcher, I think you're going to have a different body than someone who plays outfield or first base or third base or catcher, you know. But I will say you should be in some kind of program, whether it's just speed, agility training, where there's maybe not a lot of weightlifting, but it's a lot of movement, a lot of flexibility type stuff to get you faster, quicker, more athletic, things like that. And I think, you know, whether it's, like you said, the military style stuff, doing sit-ups, doing push-ups, squats, burpees, all that stuff you can do in your bedroom, your backyard, your front yard. You don't need anyone to help you do that. And nowadays with even stuff on YouTube, there's videos all over the place. You can just pull up a video, copy what another guy is doing, and do it right there in your room. So there's kind of no excuses, you know, anymore for anyone to want to get onto some kind of training program. But I think everyone should always try to, if you can find somebody who really knows what they're talking about and get a good start with what you're going to do with your weight training program, as far as somebody giving you good direction. Like, hey, this is probably what you should be eating. This is probably what you should be putting in your body. This is how often you should be doing it. Keeping track of your meals. That's something I know Coach Joe, he made all of our kids that were in that program with them, they kept track of their meals. Every day, whatever it was they eat, if they ate nothing, they put nothing. You know, if they had a banana, it was a banana. Whatever it was, they put all that stuff down and journaled it. Again, that's that accountability, holding yourself accountable, you know, for what you're doing.
Yeah, it's reflection too, Jim. Like a lot of people don't realize how much or how little we're taking in. Just like, if you tell somebody, hey, I want you to keep track of all your finances for 1 month, you're going to be like, damn, I spent $580 at Whole Foods. I did that. Because that debit card is painless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Boop. Run it.
When you write it down, oh, man. Just like your at-bats.
Yeah.
Write your at-bats down. Just like what you eat. Just like what you spend. Matter of fact, you just gave me a good idea. I'm going to do that, man. Open up this app, and I'm going to start writing down what I eat.
That's again, it's how you reflect. It's how you hold yourself accountable. You can't lie. You know what I mean? Like you put it down, you look at it, and if Coach Joe's like, hey, so tell me what you ate, and you go and run that list off to him, and he's like, dude, where was breakfast? Where was this? Where was that? And you want to gain this or get there, you know, now you got to make up for that or whatever it is, you know, that you're lacking and stuff like that. So having someone help you out. And, you know, I know Coach Joe, he does this kind of similar to you, like how you're going to be giving hitting instruction or mental instruction and stuff with baseball through your website. He does similar things, too, where he can do meal planning and all that kind of stuff for you. Without him, actually, you don't have to meet him. You can do it, you know, through Zoom meetings with him through email, all that kind of stuff. He can give you plans that you can be working out on your own and stuff like that. So I would advise everybody out there, if you don't know somebody to help you out with this stuff, reach out to Coach Joe with Legendary Fitness. You can find him on IG and he can help you out, get you a plan. And again, I mean, I guarantee results if you do what he tells you to do. If you do what he tells you to do, I think anyone at least high school age and above will probably gain 10 plus pounds of muscle to their body if you just do what he does, what he's telling you to do for a good month or two. You know, a good month or two. You know, you try to do, oh, I did it for a week, I didn't see no changes. Yeah. I mean, you're not. You're not. Anyone trying to lose weight. I know lots of people are trying to lose weight after this pandemic and stuff. And so it's even more of a time to get into fitness and stuff like that. But there's people that, like, hey, man, I've been running all week. And, you know what I'm saying? I gained a pound. Like, yeah, well, your body don't work. You know, first of all, your body don't work that way. And also, what have you been doing for that week? What have you been eating? What have you been taking in? And
they don't know.
What's your lifestyle and habits that you have that you haven't broke that are creating these issues that you're having, why you're gaining weight in the first place?
That's a true statement, man, right there. Coach, hey, Coach Joe, not a magician, man.
No, he's not. He ain't gonna cut the weight off you. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of things that go into it, and it's not easy. That's part of the battle for a lot of people, especially those actually trying to lose weight. And right now is a time. There is a lot of people trying to lose weight or get back in shape. Me and you were just talking about it. I'm going to be out there this weekend for Memorial Day weekend, and I'm going to coach over 10 games in a three day time period. I may be standing there for a lot of it, but I'm going to be moving around. I'm going to be walking the third base coach. I'm going to be talking to kids. I'm going to be trying to show kids what they did wrong and how to do it right. And running infield, outfield, all that kind of stuff. I need to be in shape. and I haven't done that in a while. And so I've been feeling it walking around the field just at practices and stuff. Like, dang, it's kicking my butt. So I got to get myself in better shape. And a lot of it with me is even just meals. You know, eating better and, you know, eating more often. Like, there's a lot of days for me. I hate to admit it, but there's a lot of days for me that my first meal has come at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. My first meal.
And it was lifestyle. A lot of people live that way. One meal a day.
Yeah. One meal a day. And granted, I'm older, and it's, you know, when you get older, your appetite changes and you don't eat as much for the most part. But is that right? No, it's not right. I know that. It's not good to eat once a day. You're starving your body. And this is what a lot of people don't know. You are starving your body. And when you're starving your body, now you're starving your brain. And your brain suffers from this too. And then you wonder why you flashed at somebody in traffic, or, you know what I'm saying? Or you yelled at somebody that you didn't mean to yell at, or something happened because, you know, like those Snickers commercials, man, right? All yeah. Those, man, you need a Snickers or something, right? Because yeah, you know, if there, when you go play a game, you know, one of the things we always talk about with our kids, like we had this conversation yesterday after our game against Los Gatos at the end, like, hey, we got one game left in the season. It's on Friday. And I want you all to empty the tank. And when I say empty the tank, that means you're going to go everything you got in you that knows how to play baseball. You're going to throw that out on the field and you're going to let it fly. And you're going to die for everything. You're going to give me the hardest, toughest, best baseball game you could possibly play. Don't care if we win or lose, but I just want to see that. How am I going to go do that if I didn't eat anything before that game? And I didn't have a lot of hydration the day before. I wasn't drinking a lot of fluids and things like that. I'm gonna be dead by the third or fourth inning. I'm not gonna be able to fly around the field and give you my all and everything. And I might start getting lazy. I might be dragging ass out on the field. And coaches see that stuff. Coaches see that. We can tell.
You gonna miss a sign?
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Mentally focused. You know, your focus is very important to you. And in order to have focus, you can't be thinking about I'm hungry. You know what I mean? You can't be thinking I'm thirsty or I don't feel good right now. Sometimes you don't feel good because you haven't been eating the proper meals and taking care of your body.
True story. AA, I played for a guy named Louis Durante. Mm-hmm. Louis Durante believed in one thing. Fifth inning, everybody hit that snack tray on the bench. Granola bars. Serious. put something in your body, you're going to get refocused. You know what I mean?
Those were in the clubhouse, right? Didn't you have stuff even in the bench?
In the dugout.
Yeah, in the dugout.
Fifth inning. Everybody go get a little snack, man.
Bubble gum, seeds, something. You know, something to keep you going. You know, it's funny. There's things I remember that my dad, you know, had told me about baseball. And one thing for him that I remember all the time, especially when I got to high school, we played a lot of games at Washington Park. And Washington Park's like an old stadium. Like, there's a lot of great players played at this place. And so there's a lot of history there. And we would drive by the 7-Eleven, and my dad would stop every single time. We'd go in there, and he'd get a brown paper bag full of Bazooka Joe bubblegum. And all the cherry, grape, whatever, all of them. It was full. And he'd take it to the game, and before the game would start, hey, everybody, here's some gum. Here's some gum, throw it in. And I shit you not, I don't know what it was, but that Bazooka Joe bubblegum, man, like, it was something that stuck with me. Like, I always thought, like, dude, I need some gum or something. You know, I needed something to kind of, like, either it might have helped me. You know what I mean? It might have helped me in some ways. And I think with everybody, if you think about whether it's that sugar shot, you know, for that quick 5 seconds, because, you know, the Bazooka Joe was done in 10, 15 seconds. It didn't taste like nothing but rubber afterwards. But that's why you had a whole bag full. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you might chew 5 or 6 of those things or whatever. And then you had the one kid that put 10 packs one time right in his cheek, you know, and stuff like that. But I'll tell you, it was motivating. It was energetic. It was things like that. And, you know, when you can come prepared to a game, and know that, you know, you had a good meal a couple hours or earlier, you know, than the game. You know, I think I forget if we talked about this, but one of the kids on my team, they went and had Chinese food like an hour before the game. And he's got heartburn, and his heart was hurting, and his stomach was hurting, all this stuff going on. And I'm like, dude, you know, I'm going through the questions with him because I'm not sure what's wrong with him. You know, what are you feeling, and where are you feeling it, and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, would you eat today? I was like, did you even eat? And he was like, oh man, we went to Panda Express. And Panda Express. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? I was like, you can't do that. I was like, even if your body loves Panda Express and all that kind of stuff, it's just not good for you right before a game. I mean, maybe 2-3 hours before, but not right before a game. Like, your body's got to be able to digest a little bit, and just not everybody, you know, digests food the same and stuff like that. And you don't want to be out there on the field thinking, hey, I don't want to be out there thinking I'm hungry. I don't want to be out there thinking I'm full. And I don't want to be out there feeling like I got pains in my stomach or my body or whatever because of what I just ate or whatever. It's like, this game's already so hard, and you're just putting more things on top of you to make the game even harder, you know? So being properly ready to go, you know, and that's, I always tell everyone, you got to dehydrate. You got to hydrate the day before you're going to go do an event. Don't hydrate the same day, which you still need to do. You got to hydrate for that day, a day in advance.
Yeah.
So that way you wake up already feeling some kind of energy level.
You feel the difference.
Yeah, you will feel it. And I promise, if everybody does that, if they take care of their body the day before they got an event, and then they go into that event and take care and are prepared for that event, probably going to do a lot better than you would have if you hadn't done that stuff. I can almost guarantee that for sure.
No doubt.
So, I advise everybody, get you somebody that knows what they're talking about. If it's not Joe, find somebody and go out there and do it, though, because I definitely believe, you know, if you can get yourself bigger and stronger, especially through your high school years, that can be an advantage, especially if you're a small guy and you feel like you're trying to compete with everybody else. One thing you can't control is how tall you get and how quick that happens and all that. But you can be working out, and you can be in your room doing sit-ups and push-ups, and you can be getting with Coach Joe and working out after practices and getting your work in. And, you know, Jose Altuve, that was a guy I was just talking to you the other day about. Man, he got the big monster tire in his backyard and pushes it around his pool. He just flips it up, boom. And then he goes and gets a big mallet, and he beats the tire up, you know, with the big mallet or whatever and stuff like that. So he's doing all kinds of stuff in the off season. And, you know, granted, he's got a bunch of money and all that, but a tire and swinging a big hammer and stuff like that or whatever. I mean, that that stuff, people can find places to go do stuff like that, you know?
So yeah, you know what, man? I used to live upstairs on a flat in the city, San Francisco, and downstairs was a nutritionist. Mm. And we used to talk about stuff like weight loss, weight gain, things like this. And really what she told me is people try to overcomplicate something that's simple. It's really not very difficult to understand how to lose weight. It might be difficult to do it.
Yeah.
But we all know what we should and should not eat. You know, it's innate. When you eat something, you know if this is good. You don't eat it. If it come out of a box or a bag, you know it ain't probably good for you. It ain't the best thing for you.
Yeah.
And you know you got to move. And you know it comes down to it's mathematics, man. You can't put a lot in and take a little out and expect to lose weight. And it's the opposite for gaining weight. So people overcomplicate stuff, man. Like during this pandemic, my wife lost, I don't know, 25 pounds.
Wow.
She started moving, keep track of what she's eating, found out what her body needs based on her weight, size, age, whatever. This is what I need a day. Now let me keep track of what I'm eating. Let me keep track of what I'm burning. It's not that hard. It's hard to say no to stuff that you want to eat. That's what's coming down.
Yeah, then you show up to the baseball party and they got pizza and nachos and wings.
That's the kicker. But now what you're talking about is something different, like sports-specific training.
Yeah.
That's something different. Like, because I remember one time running – doing my poles, trying to stay in shape in spring training. We playing against the Orioles. And no, it might have been Cleveland. And Brady Anderson's like, Callaway, what you doing? Man, I'm running, trying to stay in shape. He told me, man, don't ever train your body to run slow. You train with sprints. First time I ever heard it.
Wow.
He's like, man, all I do is sprints. He's like, you gonna get ripped up running. He's like, you ever see them sprinters? They all ripped up. He's like, but you train your body to run fast. Don't train your body to run slow. I said, damn. That's what level he was on, you know?
Wow.
So sports-specific training is something different than me and my wife sitting in here trying to get some movement done, you know what I mean? Like what you were doing with them kids at camp, that's some sport. I'm not doing that, but that's what they need to be doing because those are the same movements they're going to have on the field, you know, explosive.
Yeah.
I don't need to be explosive no more. I just need to make sure I don't get osteoporosis or something like that.
I just need to make sure I can keep getting up every day and going to bed every day.
That's what I'm letting do a better job at that. So, yeah, you're right, man. You need a professional, man, somebody who studies that stuff to help you understand what it is you need to do to get the most out of your ability. I'm not saying he's not going to make you something you're not.
Yeah,
he's going to make you the best you can be. He's going to get all of your ability out of you. A lot of people, Jim, they don't get all their ability out. They coming up short. They only get 70% out. Man, there was a lot more in there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just like they say about even using your brain, that, you know, we're not using our brain to its full capacity. Yeah. And part of it is just even that, not thinking about going and doing stuff to get myself bigger and stronger and maximizing my body, maximizing what I've been given and being able to get it to its full potential. Because it's there. You're able to do it. It's not something that you got to have $1 million to do or anything like that. There are ways to do this on your own if you can seek out the information and get it, and then you have to go apply it.
Right.
When you don't apply, you know, the stuff that you know you need to do, well, then you can't expect to get the results that you're looking for. You know what I mean? So I got a question for you though. You got a how old is your son?
7.
He's 7. You're not gonna get him on weights right now, are you?
Nope.
When do you think you're gonna introduce him to some weights or some type of weight training to play whatever sports he wants to play?
You know, me and my wife had this discussion not too long ago because, like I said, she got heavy into a gym. She done turned off. I don't even have a dining room anymore. I'm going to show it to you next time we talk on Tuesday. She done turned it in, all these machines and weights and cords. And so I took all the stuff out. You could have that. But she got really into fitness.
Yeah.
Health. And so she wants the kids to develop a habit of thinking about doing something for their health and fitness every day.
Exercise.
So she got them on that. They got that app. I forget the name of it. And they go on the TV and press play, and they got this little workout routine. There ain't no weights, but they do some push-ups. They do some stuff. They running around. They whatever. But
probably the Peloton or something like that. They have like the bike with the video, and you do their workouts, or is it something else?
That's what she does. But this is something else. This is specifically for kids.
Wow, that's cool.
And she always asks them, hey, you do your workout? Did you do your workout? And they do. So it might be sooner, but it won't be to help you become a better baseball player for me.
Yeah.
Like if my son comes to me and says, if I'm asking him, if I'm talking to him, hey, what you want to do with the game? I want to go to the big leagues. Hey, well, you know, these are some of the things that you got to start thinking about. And if you really want to go, I put you in front of the best people to get you where you want to go, you know?
Yeah.
Like Legendary Fitness.
Yeah.
Or whoever. Or Living Legends, whoever. That's all we do as parents. We try to put you in front of the best people to help you reach the goals that you told me you wanted to get to. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's our job.
So probably high school.
Okay.
Freshman.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. But he's going to be doing exercise from now. You know, body weight stuff. Like you talk about push-ups and all that. He'll be doing all that, him and his sister. Yeah.
Yeah, learn some of the old school ways, because the old school ways is never wrong.
Tried and true.
As long as you do it right.
Man, tried and true.
It's funny because one of the first things that I know Coach Joe did in our program, and a lot of kids didn't realize this, he was like, hey, everybody get down and get ready to do push-ups. And this is a funny thing because we got like 30 kids, you know, in a big circle, and Joe's in the middle, I'm in the middle, and we about to get down and do push-ups. And the first thing we look at is how everybody's structured, where they got their arms and stuff like that. And he point out, look, the way you do, you're going to break your arms, your wrists or something, and you're going to struggle doing this push-up by the way you're trying to do it. There's a way to do a push-up that is, I would say, more efficient, easier to do, but does what it's supposed to do for you, the purpose of a push-up, you know? So we're showing people the correct way of doing the drills too. We're not, hey, just get down and do a push-up. There is a proper way to do all this stuff. And I do advise everybody that is getting into it maybe for the first time or trying to do some of these things on their own, look it up and see how to do these things properly first before you do anything, because there is a method to the madness. You know, there is a method, and it's good to do things the right way, because what you don't want to do is get hurt training or lifting or any of that kind of stuff. Because I know one thing for sure, when you have a muscle pull, those are hard to recover from, you know, it takes a while. And then now the excuses come in, like, oh man, I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet. And then before you know it, it's been 2 months, you haven't worked out. And then, you know, before you know, you just don't get back on the plan and stuff like that. So there's always a lot of excuses that knock people off from doing stuff or whatever.
Right. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And it's one of the, oh man, I got plans today, I can't do my workout. And, you know, this goes back to when I did real estate. One of the first things my manager had told me at the time, he was like, man, you need to set your hours of what your Jim Greco's office is going to be open and when it closes. And when it closes, it's closed. Don't answer your phone, don't return emails, you know, none of that stuff. Like, you got to have, things got to be structured. Otherwise people are just going to be, you're going to be running all over the place and you can't
pull at your time. We just talked about that earlier, about some people pulling at the time, you know?
Yeah. And you have to stay strict to what you do. And the biggest way to hold yourself accountable, again, this keeps coming up, but you always bring it up, and it's the reflection. It's writing it down. If you're keeping track of all this stuff, then you can't really go off path. And if you do, you can see where you went off path and get yourself back on it. You know what I mean? But you have to hold yourself accountable through this. I think for me, you know, my son, you know, I got him, he had dumbbells at probably, I want to say around 8 or 9 years old, I had like some 2 pound or 3 pound, you know, they're light, they're small, but right. I showed him a few things that he could do in his room. He wasn't doing it 5 days a week or anything like that. It was off and on. Sometimes I, hey man, you do your dumbbells today or anything? Oh no. And, but they're laying right there, you know, they're right there next to his bed, you know, or whatever. So I just put the tools around him even sometimes, you know, like, hey, here's some stuff I got, or hey, here's bands that you could be doing, and here's some things that you could do. Here's how you do it. And kind of let him explore a little bit on his own. Try not to force him into doing it, but also letting him know the results you can end up getting by putting yourself, you know, in a place of trying to get stronger, yeah. You know, and how it can help you and stuff like that. And there's no doubt about it. Like, after he really started understanding in high school, because I think a lot of kids, they don't get it until they get into high school. And now you are seeing, like, when we went, it really was football players that were mostly in that gym.
True.
Now you go and you got wrestlers in there. You got water polo in there. I mean, everybody.
Email.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's in there getting work. Girls are working out more and stuff like that. My wife
lifts more weights than me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're seeing, you're like, dang, how they lifted 200. I can't even do 75. Yeah. Well, it's like, well, they training to do that. They're and you could do it too. All of us are capable of doing that. But if you don't push your body to be able to do that, you'll never find out. You'll never find out.
Yeah. We're all consistent. And you're all where you're at because you're consistent. Everybody is where they're at because they're consistent. Hey, the people who can, them girls who squat them 230 pounds, they're consistent with their routines.
Yeah.
The people who say, like me, I need to lose me 25, 30 pounds. I'm consistently eating the wrong stuff and consistently not work. But one way or another, you consistent. That's how you get to where you at.
Yep.
The key is consistency, man. And it boils down to what you said, holding yourself accountable. When you have to look at that stuff every day, it makes you think different. It's just like we talk about spending the money, Jim. It used to tell my wife, man, I'm more careless spending money when it's that damn debit card, Jim. Yep. When I gotta peel them greenbacks off, it feels different.
It's like when you don't see it and don't know what's going on, you can easily do it.
Yeah, but when you gotta write down what I ate today, what my exercise routine was today, and you see that stuff every day, or you don't see it,
mm-hmm.
There you go. You know?
That's the answer.
The consistency is the key, man, to anything. I don't care what it is. You got to be consistent. Like I told those parents out there at the camp we ran, it's like, man, what you're looking at is fundamentals. Y'all don't have fundamentals.
Yeah.
And that comes with consistency. First, you got to know what you're doing, but then you got to consistently get out there and go through the reps, the fundamental. Develop fun. It's hard to play baseball if you can't throw, you can't catch, and you can't hit.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, this is not complicated. It's like losing weight is not complicated. Playing baseball is not complicated. You got to be able to throw. You got to be able to catch. You got to be able to hit the ball.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Then we'll build off. Those are the things we're building off of. But first, you first.
Yeah.
Jim can't put in no first and third defensive play if we can't play fast catch.
No, you're right. And it's funny because I feel bad because, like, this year with my JV team, there's a lot of things we didn't get to. I mean, obviously the pandemic made it that way because we didn't get a preseason. I got these kids. We play tomorrow. Right. Oh, wait, none of you know how to throw a baseball yet or catch it? Oh, and game one's tomorrow? Well, shoot. You know what I'm saying? So that's tough. But so, hey, are we learning infield, outfield? No, you don't even know how to throw the ball or catch it. So we had to baby step through this whole season. And I wasn't doing traditional stuff that I usually would do with all my past teams that where we had 12, 13, 14 guys who really knew how to play ball. And yeah, they're still developing, but they know how to play ball. You know, they can catch and throw and do all that. So they need to learn the first and third situations and how we do it at Wilcox. They need to learn our pick plays. And I could teach them the signs and all that. I couldn't teach these guys certain signs. Mm-mm. It was, we ain't even going to get to that.
No.
I can't teach them hit and run.
No.
They can't even make contact yet. How am I going to teach them hit and run? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of stuff like that. No, you're totally right. You know what I mean? And one thing I was going to bring up before, I know we're probably getting close to time and all that, but one thing I was going to bring up, because I wanted to talk about my son a little bit as far as like his rehab, because some people know that my son suffered a shoulder injury that may or may not have required surgery. This was like it was almost 2 years ago. And so he went to Texas, played in the Palomino World Series, absolutely shoved against the best team, Ohio, that was out there, and shoved against Hawaii, came back from the trip. Baseball was starting up for his senior year, and he's in the bullpen, and he's working on his curveball. He's trying to get his curveball working better. It wasn't how he wanted it, and the coaches were working on it with him or whatever. And he came home one day and was just like, "Yes, my shoulder, just something ain't right. It's never felt like this before. Something's weird." So long story short is we went, I knew the process. We need to go get an x-ray because they won't let me get the MRI until we get an x-ray. And then we need to get the MRI so we can find out what's going on in there. And his arm's always felt good. He's always had a very good arm, a very strong arm. And I felt like I did the best job I possibly could have to get him to have the best arm he could have. And that was lots of long toss, very little weights over the years, very little weights, nothing crazy. Like I said, he had dumbbells. That's mostly what he had. A lot of flexibility stuff is what we were doing. And ultimately what it came down to is the first guy that we seen at Valley Medical, the regular doctor that looked at the MRI, was like, "Yeah, we're probably gonna need to have surgery. There's a little something in there, you know," or whatever and stuff like that. But they're like, "Hey, it's really clean in there," and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I remember when I had shoulder surgery, and the doctor I had talked to, the sports doctor I had talked to, was like, "Dude, you got bone spurs. They're cutting into your muscle. That's why you're having so much pain, and it's a mess in there. We got to take all that shit out." So okay, cool. So this is like two different. I'm like, "Dang, you're saying it's really clean in there." So his arm is good. There's just something wrong. So we want a second opinion, because I'm like, "Man, I don't know." And so they're like, "No, we're gonna send you to another doctor." Well, this doctor ended up being someone I could choose. And so I looked, and I seen this guy actually had a couple bad reviews on him or whatever, where people are like, "Yeah, man, he was just real short with us and stuff like that." And I'm like, "Well, he's a doctor. He's got shit to do. He's got patients. He don't have all day to sit here and just baby everybody. Like, he's gonna tell you, like, hey, here's what's wrong, here's what you need to do, trust me, you know. And if you don't trust him, you shouldn't be with that doctor." So we met with him, and he did some tests and some things with my son or whatever and stuff. And he's all, a lot of what I'm seeing wrong is there's just some bad biomechanics in here, and we need to strengthen that shoulder up. He needs more strength in his shoulders. So, you know, long story short is this guy, he worked with the Mets. He worked with the Chicago White Sox. He did surgeries on, you know, professional baseball players. And he was like, you know, "Your son's shoulder, he's all, it's in really good shape. He's all, it's just not strong enough." And so he's really kind of, he's having a pull, you know, he's getting a lot of pull, a lot of torque coming out of there. And we maybe need to kind of change the way he's throwing the ball a little bit. Some of the mechanics, he fell into some bad mechanics is really what ended up happening. And I think I've had this conversation with you before is, you know, when I had my son, I was working with him all the time, and we were always on top of mechanics and stuff like that. When he got to high school, I took the gloves off and said, "Look, you're a man now. You go, you deal with the coaches. I ain't calling nobody. I ain't emailing nobody. I'll show up to the game and watch if I have time to. I might miss a bunch of your games because I'm coaching and doing my thing or whatever. So you got to go handle your career at this point for the next 4 years. I'll oversee it, and I'll talk to you when we get home about it," stuff like that. And I would see him pitch, and I'm telling him, like, "Dude, what are you doing with your leg kick? I mean, it just things were off. And, that's how they want me to do it." You know, real defensive and stuff, as teenagers are. You know what I mean? They think they got it all figured out. Well, basically what ended up happening is he kind of changed some mechanics that weren't, you know, good for his arm. And he was putting more torque on his arm than he really should have or needed to. Plus, he was getting taller. I mean, he went from 6 foot to like 6 foot 3 over his first couple years in high school. So he's growing, you know, a lot of kids are going through the growing process during these times. So you wonder why you're sore. You wonder why you're hurting sometimes, and or some days just your arm feels really bad. Well, you're going through a lot. You're going through a lot of stuff. And then if you are playing for the football team and they got you in the workout center 5 days a week and you're doing all that, yeah, it's going to take a toll on you, and you're going to experience some stuff. So, you know, what I really want to make sure is that everyone understands, like, there's a process to all this stuff. And at the end of the day, you got to understand how your body's working. You got to understand what kind of pains you're having, and you got to understand when to take a break, or when you need some rest, and not to overexert yourself. Because when you do overexert yourself, that's when you can have injury. And then mechanically doing things right, because if you're mechanically doing it wrong, you are more susceptible to injury. And that's why we talk about pitchers and arm injuries and all that. Everyone want to blame a curveball or how many pitches I threw. And we've gone over this before. Look, some of that, look, if there's a big pie of 100 things, those are two of them. Yeah. If you throw a bunch of pitches, yeah, that could resort to an injury at some point.
It could.
So can riding your bike and getting hit by a car.
It could.
You know what I mean? Like, there's all kinds of things that can happen. You doing things wrong can get you hurt. You missing the sign could get you hurt. Yes. You being in the wrong place at the wrong time could get you hurt. Pitching on a wet, muddy, rainy mound in December could get you hurt.
It's baseball, man. Hey, I tore my rotator cuff diving back for a base on a pick play.
Yeah.
Ain't been the same since. Had to get cut open twice.
And that's the game. That's the way it works. And I think people need to just understand their bodies more and take better care of their bodies in general. Not worry so much about necessarily the pitch counts or what he's throwing. How about how you're throwing? How your mechanics are, how your biomechanics are. And this doctor, I shoot him out because honestly, he was straight up with me, and he wasn't going in there with, hey man, how are you doing? He didn't have no big smile or nothing like that. This is serious business right here. We're talking about maybe surgery that could end your career if you can't come. Because you have surgery, don't mean you bouncing back throwing 90 miles an hour in 6 months from now.
That's the big exception.
Yeah, you don't want to have any surgery ever.
Ever.
Ever. If you can
avoid. I made that mistake, Jim. I thought once I have surgery, I'll go back to feeling like I did before I got hurt. False. If I had it to do over again, I would have never had it, Jim.
And these are the decisions people have to make, and sometimes they don't get it. And the thing is, yeah, there is some sort, you gotta go have surgery. There are times that, you know, and you got to make that decision. But there is a lot of times that physical therapy, and that's what he really stressed to us, is like, look, I'm going to get you guys on a really good physical therapy plan. And we milked the shit out of that physical therapy and just kept asking for more until they finally, I think he went for over 3 months of physical therapy.
Oh, good.
And he was going like 3 days a week or what. He was getting, Dad, I completed everything they have at the physical therapy place. I ran through their system. They're like, we don't have anything else left for you to do. You're good to go. So that's when we finally, okay, now let's get you out of there. Let's get back to throwing. And we started off short and started getting back to long toss, and accuracy still is even an issue now. And we've been working on it for close to a year now, but he's getting it. It's all coming back, but it's a long road. It's a long road, and it takes a lot of work. And he's had hiccups through this, like where he got sidetracked for a few weeks doing something else and didn't get back in the gym for a while and didn't do what he should have been doing, stop throwing.
Consistency, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and during the pandemic, it was an easy time for some kids to get sidetracked. I know a lot of high school kids were not locked in their houses. You know, they were out doing stuff still.
Right. Right.
My son was one of them. I wasn't going to
stand it. I was out too much, Jim.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And it was like, hey, man, just be careful. You know, wear your mask, sanitizer. You know, we just made sure you had the tools to be out there doing this thing. But Dr. Seth Lawrence Sherman at Stanford, that was the guy that we saw, gave me, I learned a lot from him, you know, and that helped me my program, because I talk to kids all the time about arm injuries and their parents concerned about certain things or whatever. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor, but I'm a sound like one for a little bit because I've listened to all the stuff that doctors have told me from my own personal injuries to other kids' injuries and the different things doctors say and the growth plate issues and tennis elbow and little league elbow and all these different things. And what it came down to, a lot of it, was your biomechanics being proper and you strengthening your body to do the things that you're trying to do. You want to be a baseball player. There is a baseball body for the position you play that you need to try and get to. And you need to work on doing the things that are going to help you get there. Now, not at 6, 7, 8 years old, but as you get into a teenager and your body's growing and all those things are happening, it's a great time to be working on your fitness and getting stronger and then continue doing it for the rest of your career, as long as you're going to keep playing, in my opinion. That's the way you got to do it. And now that my son's shoulder is all nice and strong and everything or whatever too, like, he's not complaining about his arm anymore. His arm is in great shape. Now it's just figuring out the new mechanics. He's got a whole new everything. I took him to one of the best pitching coaches, and he drives 2 hours on Wednesdays to go see this pitching coach because that's the guy that I want to see him with. He's going to spend the time with him. And I knew it was right. As soon as we went there and he started looking at his feet and his legs and how he was throwing the ball and all that, and we just started completely all over with everything, how he's going to deliver the ball, where his body transfer is, where his arm release is, and all that kind of stuff. And it's great. And so I think everyone out there needs to understand too, just however you pitched in Little League is going to be different than how you pitched in Pony and Colt.
Of course.
And then it's probably going to change again when you get to high school. And then it's probably going to change again or get tweaked when you get to college and that pitching coach. And if you get lucky to get drafted and go pro, there's probably going to be another guy that you're going to see that's going to, you need to do this. Or they're going to put you on a program that they want you to be on that you're going to need to follow. That's going to be totally different than anything anyone else talked to you before about. And you need to understand that that's going to happen. Your mechanics change, your body changes. Everything you do changes. And for the most part, you know, these pitching coaches in the college, especially the good colleges and pro levels, they're trying to do all the things that they know get results.
But before we get off this topic, the one thing I want to point out, I think it's important that people hear this, Jim, is that a lot of people have good mechanics. A lot of people.
Yeah.
But what happens is, and you're a coach, so you're going to understand this.
Yep.
When people get tired, when people get fatigued, their mechanics break down.
Yep.
When your mechanics break down and you're throwing the ball with poor mechanics, now you can be susceptible to injury.
Yep.
So, pitchers are really, really, really crazy about their conditioning, because they want to be able to go deep into games, number one. But number two, they know when I get tired, my mechanics break down. And one of the first signs is like location, or I'm missing a certain way. You know your pitchers better than anybody else.
Yeah.
And so you can recognize those kind of things, because you want to get them out of there. You don't want them out there throwing high-stress innings when they're fatigued and their mechanics are breaking down.
Exactly.
That's a recipe for disaster right there. Yep. Most of us try to get into good physical condition to stay healthy and to make us perform, you know, do what we already do it at a high level. But the staying healthy thing, I think, is key. Because like what that doctor told you is true. I bet you most people get hurt because they're mechanics. Even if they're good for the majority of the game, they got tired and, like what'd you say, arms start dragging or whatever you say. Yeah. It happens, man. And people
start compensating. You start compensating.
There it is. There it is. Hey, you're right about that, because, Jim, I hurt my hamstring in Norfolk late in my career. And my right hamstring killing me. But I'm playing through this, man. I ain't going to let this kid get on the field. He mess around and get 3 hits. I ain't going to never see the field again. Next thing I know, my left hamstring hurt. Oh, I need an all-star break to get here. Compensating.
Dude, it was in my head. I was waiting. I was going to ask you, hey, man, you ever pull a hamstring?
Oh, my God.
Because that's the same thing. I pulled my hamstring one time, my right hamstring, running down first baseline, stretching for the bag because I was trying to beat it out.
Yeah.
And when I hit that bag, man, I had the craziest pull I ever felt in my life. And, you know, I played the game banged up, but that shit, oh man. And I had to play the rest of the game. It was one of those games, like, again, we only had a few guys, and then I really wasn't trying to see nobody else go out there for me. No. You know what I mean? And playing with like my hamstring was, it was all the way bad.
I know how you feeling.
It was all the way bad.
You don't know the worst injury I had. That's the second worst injury I had. The hand is nagging and it stays there forever until
a long time. Yep.
But I was playing in Venezuela. I took a swing, Jim, base hit, and blew my oblique up. Felt like I got stabbed in my side. Oh. And you know them in Venezuela, they come out there with these long needles. No, I'm going home, man.
I'm good.
You be ready tomorrow. No, I'm not.
All right. Hey, do you ever have to get a cortisone shot?
Yeah, man, because I had bone spurs too. You know, that same year I hurt my hand. That year the Mets was the worst on me. It's the only year I've ever went on disabled list in my life. And I had to get surgery, second surgery, because the bone spurs was doing what yours was. It was in the joint. So every time my arm went up, got to shave them things out of there. So,
hey, man, I had that issue for like 6 years.
Woo, I couldn't do it.
6 years. Nobody told me that, you know, I knew junior year in high school. So this is already, I'm in high school and my arm's already ruined.
Yeah,
I was at second base, right? Having to make a turn in two and throw him from second to first. And, you know, I'd made it look good and walked back to the second base to wait for my turn again. And just like literally in tears in my head, walking back to second base. Like, you know, I turned away from the coach to like, oh my God, that fucking hurt.
Yeah. I know the feeling, man. So I understand it, man. Hey. You wanted to give out something for last.
Yeah. So check it out. So as promised, we like to make sure we always promise and deliver on our promises.
Absolutely. Over-deliver.
Yeah. So here's what we're going to deliver. So I had done a podcast raffle for the Science of Hitting podcast that we had. It was about an hour long, and I put it out there to everybody on Instagram and Facebook. If you listened or chimed in and then you emailed me and liked the post and emailed me what you either learned or didn't like or whatever it might be. Luckily, we got all good feedback from everybody that listened to our podcast. But I told everybody I would give $100 away of Living Legends gear to one person that we'd raffle it off. So I just ran the raffle today, and we have a winner, Santiago Lopez. He's a player in my program. Congratulations, right, Santiago, and your family. And actually, it's awesome because his mom has emailed me a few times. I think they may have listened to all our podcasts or a good amount of them. But you know, really good feedback on our podcast, man. A lot of people are loving what we're telling them and what we're talking about, and it makes sense. It's relevant to what's really going on, and you know, and we're telling them stuff that they need to know that other people aren't talking about, or they're afraid to talk about, or they're scared to put it out there because they think, you know, hey, someone's going to come at me and tell me I'm wrong or I'm a liar. And I'm like, hey, you could try and tell us we're wrong or we're liars. Most of this stuff, we all lived it. We've been there and done it.
That's all right.
Experienced it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, so you can live it. You can love it. You can, you know, whatever. You can hate it. You know, I love doing this. It's been great. I just want to thank everybody that's been listening, because I think it's definitely helping you guys, and it's helping us too, because we're only going to get better at what we're doing here, and we're going to keep this thing going but keep sending us topics. I know there's stuff out there that parents want us to talk about, but maybe, you know, they're too shy to reach out to us or tell us what they want us to talk about, or they're worried about, you know, what may come of it or whatever, but man, right. Please email me coachjim@livinglegendsbaseball.com and let me know, or find me on Instagram and message me, find me on Facebook and message me. I'm not hard to find. I'm everywhere, and shoot me your questions, and don't, it's okay if you think it's a stupid question, because it might be something that opens up Pandora's box of other really good ideas and topics. And you may not realize it, because definitely me and Ron are guys that think outside the box, And, you know, we'll turn a small subject into a huge category of conversation. So
absolutely.
But thank you to everybody listening. I do really appreciate it and hope you keep listening going forward. And if you've missed any of our other podcasts, go back to, you know, Beyond Mechanics on Spotify and go look. I think we're somewhere around 10. Maybe this is the 9th episode that me and you've done together. But you have a total of what? It's over 20 now, maybe, podcasts?
There's some good stuff in there. Go check it out. See if you like it.
Awesome, man.
All right, man. So we'll get at them next week then.
For sure. Thank you, everybody.
All right, thanks.